The disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 11, Jesus says, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." We approach him as our Father, who is the God in heaven. And we approach him with reverence and awe and worship. And we pray that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And I'm not going to talk about this very long, but I just want to make sure you understand. In heaven, the perfect will of God is done. In this earth, we don't see that. But we pray and we pray and we pray for more of his kingdom and more of his will to come on earth. And I'm just telling you that, you see, sometimes people get disillusioned because they prayed and they didn't see the perfect will of God. But I'm just telling you that it is a battle as we pray and we believe for his will to be done here on earth. And then he takes us into this next verse in verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." And this is where it really becomes personal for us, because this is where we go to God with our personal needs. And not that his will being done in our life isn't a personal thing, but this is where we're asking God specifically to take care of our needs. And I want you to understand from the beginning tonight, it is not just a prayer for bread. I mean, I don't know where you are financially, but most of us here in America, we're not asking God for bread. In fact, the vast majority of us are not even asking God for food. But there's a principle here that we need to understand. When he says, "Give us this day our daily bread," he's talking about our daily necessities for life. And I want to remind you, see, this is a blueprint for prayer. It is not that you pray these exact words. It is to show us how to pray. And the bread symbolizes the necessities of life, not just food, but all of the basic needs of life, and not even just our physical needs, but even our spiritual needs. So you can have all your physical needs met and still have all kinds of other needs. In fact, a lot of the time, those other needs, you know, needs of the soulish realm, your emotional needs, relational needs, even spiritual needs then, the need for peace, the need for joy, those things can be just as big or bigger sometimes than the need for material things. But Martin Luther said that in Matthew 6:11, daily bread doesn't just refer to food, it's a symbol for all the things that we need for the preservation of our lives: food, health, housing, enjoyment, or employment, good government, and happy marriage. So praying for daily bread means that we're asking God to provide for our needs, whatever that might be. Whatever the needs are in your life. This is part of our daily prayer, that we're asking God to meet our needs. And it's super important that this is something we do every single day of our life, that we're asking God to provide for our daily needs. See, biggest need in your life might be just strength to make it through the day, having a rough day, or maybe you didn't get much sleep last night, or maybe you're tired and run down and you got a cold, and so the biggest need in your life is for a healing touch. But whatever it is, we need to always look to God and realize that he's the one that takes care of our needs, whatever they might be. See, if you need guidance, you're trying to figure out if you should go to your boss and tell him that you want a promotion, or if maybe it's time for you to look for another job, or you just need to be quiet and be content. You know, sometimes you need guidance, but he's the one that you look to with whatever the need is that's on your heart. So maybe that daily bread that you need, maybe it's not a physical or material need, but maybe what you need is God's word. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you know what? A lot of times in life, we as believers, we need that more than we need some physical thing. We need a word from God. We need God to speak to us. We need God to give us something in his word that will cause our faith to rise up so that we can move on to victory in whatever the battle is. But we need a word from God. And you know what? I'm convinced that that's not something that ought to just be a once in a while special thing on this one time. And there are special times, of course. But it also ought to be a thing that it's just a daily part of our life that we are expecting and asking God to speak to our heart through his word, and we hear from God. I think a lot of believers are on a starvation diet when it comes to the spiritual bread. But here's what we really need to get. Whatever we need, our Father has it. He has what you need, whatever it is. Listen, if he doesn't have it, you don't need it. But he has whatever you need. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Well, that settles about the rich God, doesn't it, Jimmy? All that is in heaven and earth is yours. It all belongs to him. You see somebody that's got a whole lot? Well, let me tell you, it's just on loan. Because ultimately, it belongs to God. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. It all belongs to him. It's all his. He has whatever we need. And you know what? He knows how much we need. He knows what we need. He knows when we need it. And he wants us to ask. We talked about this already in this series, but I want to remind you again that he knows what we have need of before we ask, and yet he requires that we come to him and we ask him in prayer. Then why do we have to ask if he knows? Because he has chosen to work this way. Now, I don't have a verse that says specifically why that is, but just from study of the word and, you know, just putting 2 + 2 together spiritually sometimes, you know, you understand some things. And I can tell you this, that he wants us to ask, I believe, first and foremost, because he wants us to stay humble. He wants us to never get to the place where we're just dependent on ourselves. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of this in our country, a lot of pride and arrogance, and people, even Christian people, say things like, everything I have, I got myself. Oh no, you're leaving God out of the equation. You're leaving the giver, the provider, out of the equation. You're saying that you did it all by yourself. You are headed for trouble, and I'm going to show you that in the scripture tonight. But you see, we need to have this humble heart that we're always relying on God, looking to him. And so, you see, when we go to God and we ask him sincerely to supply our need, give us this day our daily bread. It takes humility to do that with sincerity, that you are looking to him. You know, when everything seems to be automatic, everything just falls into place and we don't ever have to ask, then there's the temptation to fall into pride and to think that we've gotten everything on our own. And just in case somebody doesn't know, the scripture says very plainly that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Destruction will come on the proud. It always does. It may not be tomorrow, but it will come. It's a spiritual principle. Second, he wants us to look to him He wants us to ask him, you see, because he wants us to look to him as our source. He wants us to always turn to him. He wants a relationship with us, and so he wants us to look to him every day. There's way too many Christian people that pray once in a while. You know, if something comes up, I'll pray. No, we're supposed to look to him every day. That's why Jesus taught it this way. Give us this day our daily bread. No, it's every day we pray and we look to him to take care of our needs. We're always relying on him as our source. Third, he wants us to believe him and trust him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we're always looking to God and relying on him. We're trusting him. We're not trusting in ourselves. We're not trusting in the things of this world. We're trusting God to take care of our needs. If he just did everything without us asking, then we would take everything for granted. And as I said earlier, a lot of the time people end up taking credit themselves for everything that God so mercifully and lovingly provides for us. And we need to look to him and ask him and trust him. You see, if he just did everything without us asking, there'd be no need for faith. We would just believe it when we see it. And that's the code a lot of people live by. But we're believing God to take care of our needs always, no matter how it looks. Matthew 6:8 is that verse I spoke of. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. He already knows, and he waits for us to ask. So all we have to do is ask in faith. So many don't ask. And instead, they worry. I used to preach a message called Cares or Prayers, because it's one or the other. Either you're going to carry around a bunch of cares, a bunch of worry, or you're going to pray. And you see, as we turn to the Lord in prayer, we don't have to worry. We can get rid of the worry. Just in case somebody needs a quick truth on worry, worry never changes anything for the good. It just adds to your burden. It'll make you sick. It'll make you old, but it won't change your problem for the good. And Jesus says, don't worry. In fact, here in Matthew's gospel in chapter 6, we look at the Lord's Prayer, this blueprint for prayer, and just a few verses later, in the same chapter, beginning in verse 25, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. There it is the third time. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? By the way, I just want to mention, he's talking about the basic necessities of life here to a people who had been worrying about the basic necessities of life. It's amazing how sometimes we don't worry about the basic necessities, and yet we still find 1,000 different things to be worried about. But Jesus says 3 times, do not worry. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And here's the fourth one. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He says you don't have to worry. I love this. Jesus says it very plainly. We're not supposed to worry. You're more valuable than sparrows. Listen, he's going to take care of you. He's going to provide. He's going to make a way. And we need to know this in our heart, that whatever our needs are, our Heavenly Father loves us and he's going to take care of us. Now, in verse 33, he said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll provide everything else. Now, I want to make this very clear to you, because I realize that some people try to play, you know, games with the scripture and with the principles of scripture and the things of God. And so when he says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all these other things will be added to you, this, that doesn't mean that you're not supposed to work. The scripture says very plainly that we are supposed to work. And I can tell you that from the scripture that you're supposed to take care of your responsibilities. You're supposed to take care of your family. You're supposed to pay your bills. So this isn't what he's talking about when he says everything's going to be added to you. No, and this isn't what he's talking about when he says don't worry about it. He said, well, the lilies of the field don't have to do nothing. They just be. I gotta tell you, you ain't a lily, okay? That's taking the teaching too far. Jesus is talking about we don't have to worry about it. But he's not saying you're not supposed to work. He's not saying you're not supposed to take care of your responsibilities. But instead, we need to realize that he's the one that helps us get a job, makes a way. He gives us the strength to work or the wisdom that we need. He's the one that blesses the work of our hands. But he doesn't want us to be burdened down and weighted down with worrying about the needs of our life, because he always provides. He said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And the point here is that we need to always have our priorities right. We are not seeking things. This is a big turnaround from the attitude of our culture that's always seeking after more stuff, more, 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 always running after more. No, we seek our Heavenly Father, and he takes care of our needs. He is our focus, not stuff. Unbelievers are always running after things. And if we're running after things, we will never be satisfied. I'm telling you the truth. The guy who has $10 billion is not satisfied. He wants 12 or 15. And when he gets 15, he wants 20. I'm telling you the truth. You think $1 million would do it for you? No. As long as you think that money and things is the answer, you'll never be satisfied. It will never be enough. It doesn't matter how much you have. In fact, those who are the richest in our world have proved it again and again and again, that so often those that run after things, they end up being the most miserable people. And yet so many think a little more would make them happy. Ecclesiastes 5:10 in the NIV says, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. The scripture tells us in Colossians 3:5 that greed is idolatry. I want to tell you, money makes a terrible God. It'll drive you. It'll enslave you. It'll steal your peace, your joy, put you in such a bondage that it'll steal your very soul. Why is this important to the prayer? Because we're relying on God. We're trusting in Him. It's not about greed. It's not about us just satisfying this lust for more. It is about allowing our Heavenly Father to take care of us and supply our need. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be part of that rat race. We don't have to be in that bondage. No, He wants us to be free from all of that. In this culture, it seems like no matter how much people have, they always got to have more. And so many constantly spend above their means, putting themselves in a debt bondage. I want to read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 10. He says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Oh, man. Anybody want to say that's a hard pill to swallow? He didn't say that's all you're going to have. He said we should be content. Verse 9, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and to many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And there it is, you see, the most miserable people. It was the love of money. It was that greediness that drove them. But our Father wants us to trust Him, and He'll bless us and take care of us. He'll provide for us. And so often, if you read the scripture, you see this, that God so often doesn't just barely give us enough, but He provides in abundance. He blesses His people. And you see this over and over and over, and you even see it in when the economy was in a downtime, or there was all kinds of situations and circumstances against them, and yet the people of God had more than enough. You see this again and again and again. I'm telling you that our Father wants to bless us and take care of us, and not just enough. 1 Timothy 6:17, a little later in that chapter, he says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy." I want to tell you, it's not wrong to be rich. That's not a sin. It's wrong to trust in riches. That's a sin. It's wrong to make money a god. It's a sin to love money. It's wrong to put it before God. You can't serve two masters. That's what Jesus said. In Mark 10, 23 and 24, Jesus says to the disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." Now, some of the things in scriptures I'm sharing tonight, you don't hear this preached on TV. This is not popular. And some people, they go to one extreme or the other. They either think that we all need to take a vow of poverty and all be dirt poor, or they think that we're all supposed to be millionaires. And I can assure you, both of those are error. Anytime you go to either side of the truth, you're going to end up in the ditch. Both of those are error. But you do need to understand that Jesus speaks truth. It's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom. And the reason is, now he spells it out, he clarifies the issue here for us in the very next verse. It says, verse 24, "And the disciples were astonished at his words," just like we are. "But Jesus answered again and said to them, 'Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God.'" And that's really where the issue is. It's not that you have money. It's that when people put their trust in money instead of their trust in God. And this is so important to the message tonight, because we are praying, give us this day our daily bread. We are every day acknowledging our need for His help, His blessing on our life. Every day we are trusting Him. Now, back to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, we read this. He says, we trust the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now think about that. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. That doesn't sound like bread and water. No, He gives us all things richly to enjoy. Now, back to Matthew chapter 6, we read also that He said, don't worry about tomorrow. And I want to talk about that for just a minute, because Jesus says to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Do you realize that a whole lot, that the vast majority of the worrying that we do about our needs has to do with tomorrow? I mean, anybody worried about tonight? If you don't have money for supper, you can come see me after the service. For real. I mean, if you're worried about where your next meal is coming from tonight, you can come see me after the service. But here's the thing. See, so often we're not worried about today. We're worried about, well, you know, what am I going to do 3 weeks from now? I don't see how I'm going to make it this month. I don't see how it's all going to come together. And you know what Jesus says about that? Don't worry about it. No, instead, we need to believe that God's going to supply our need, that He's going to give us an idea how we can earn that money, or He's going to show us how we can cut our expenses, or He's going to put it in the heart of somebody to bless us in some way. But we need to trust our Heavenly Father. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. Because I'm telling you, the devil will always beat you up about, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Your Heavenly Father knows that's coming. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. No, just look at today. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, one of the amazing things about culture and how things change is at the time when Jesus said this, a lot of those people actually lived day to day. They went out and they worked for a day's wages so they could buy food for that day. And so for them, it was, I guess, a lot easier to understand the concept of trusting God every single day to meet your needs. Most of us, you know, we got money in the bank. Most of us, we've got money in the bank to take care of several months, probably. And here's why, you see, it becomes more difficult for us to get this, but it's just as real for us that every day we're looking to God to take care of us and to supply our need. Because I got to tell you, Jesus said, you know, life is more than clothing. And you see, we need to realize it's more than stuff. A man's life doesn't consist of the things that he possesses. That's what Jesus said. And so our life is a whole lot more than, well, we got enough in the bank to make ends meet this month. No, life is more than that. We need to trust Him every day. Give us this day. You know, if we pray that prayer, if we get the principle, that means we're praying every day. Because we're praying, give us this day. Not, Lord, give me a month's worth. No. We're asking God to take care of us today. And we're dependent on Him every day. I think most of us would like that. We'd say, hey, Lord, just give it all to me now, and we're good. But then most of us wouldn't acknowledge Him. And I'm going to tell you the truth tonight. Most people can't handle $1 million because they wouldn't daily depend on God. But we look to Him every day. And when we do this, you see, when we really get a hold of this, this is freeing. Jesus said, you know truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, when you really do this, you look into Him, you're relying upon Him every day as your Father, you're asking Him to take care of your needs, then He becomes your source. See, when that is something that becomes true to you, not just something you say or, you know, you claim, but it becomes true in your life that God is actually your source, then it doesn't matter what happens with your job. It doesn't matter what happens to the economy. It doesn't matter what happens to Social Security. It doesn't matter what happens to the government. It doesn't matter if we have a drought. None of that matters because God is your source and your supply, not those things. And the world can be all upset and pulling their hair out and getting stomach ulcers and everything else, but you have a calm and a peace because your Father takes care of your needs. Oh, how we need to get this, that every day we're looking to Him and trusting Him. Am I trusting in the stock market? Some people's emotions and this, their whole life goes up and down with the stock market. What a horrible way to live. So, we got plenty in our bank account to take care of our material needs for months. Why do I need to ask you? I'm going to say this one more time. It's not just about money. But it don't matter how much you got in your account. You need to trust God and believe God every day. And I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. There's a whole lot of Scriptures, but I just want to give you one passage tonight about that from Jesus. It's Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21. He spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years.'" He didn't have a few months. He had many years. "Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." I don't need to pray about it. I got plenty. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Rich toward God. I hear a lot of preachers use this passage and that phrase to tell people that they need to give. Now I want to tell you something. There's plenty of scripture about giving. Tons of scripture about giving. But that is not specifically or what this passage is really talking about here when he says rich toward God. I think we just make that assumption sometimes because he's talking about having lots of wealth stored up in his barns. He's rich, but he's not rich toward God. It's about a relationship. It's about being close to God. Are you rich toward God? Do you got a thing with God where you're close to Him and you're resting in Him, you're trusting Him, you're walking with the Lord? I'm just telling you. You see, this man, he totally missed it because his trust was in all his stuff. "I got stuff laid up for many years." But he was not rich toward God. And so we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," because every day it's about a relationship with our Father where He takes care of us and we ask Him, and we trust Him, and it's that daily bread. Now, we don't need bread. And did you know Jesus had bread? Listen, He could multiply the bread. He did it more than once. I'm saying it just one more time. Bread, food, material things, it's just an example that we look to Him as our source for all our needs. The children of Israel, when they were delivered from Egypt, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't enter into the promised land as God had told them to. And for 40 years, until that generation passed away, except for Joshua and Caleb, and the Lord raised up a new generation. For 40 years, the Lord fed them every day with manna. There was no food supply to supply food for 1 million to 2 million people traveling together. Can you imagine what that must have been like? You talk about a burden on the leadership. 2 million people, just to get them food and water was a thing. But God provided it. Every day there was manna on the ground to feed the people. An amazing thing that daily he provided. And you see, this is what it took for them, for a new generation to be raised up that would trust the Lord. They got to where that new generation, as it was raised up, they trusted God. That though, you know, however it happened, God was going to take care of their needs every single day. And then when they went into the promised land, it wasn't just enough for today. See, that's the way it was with the manna, just enough for today. When they went into the promised land, then it was absolute abundance. And I'm telling you that one of the keys to abundance in your life is learning to trust God every single day, no matter how it looks, no matter what's going on, that you're just trusting God every single day. He's providing, and I don't have to worry. I'm trusting my Father. You see, that faith grows out of that as you just keep trusting God every single day. And you know, I know some people nowadays teach different and say different things about this, but I see in the scripture where Jesus broke the bread and he blessed it and he thanked God for it. And I just want to tell you, I think it's important to pray over your meals. I just think it's important that you acknowledge that it's a gift from God and a blessing from God. Don't take it for granted. Always, always acknowledge him. Every opportunity that you give him thanks, you give him glory. So the Lord told the children of Israel when they were going into the promised land, Deuteronomy 8:17, it says, "You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." Well, that sounds like a lot of people. Don't ever think you just got it on your own. Every blessing is from him. "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms it, his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is to this day." He's the one that gives us the ability to provide for a family. That's where it comes from. It's from him. He blesses us with health, blesses us with the knowledge or the strength, blesses our company, so they can pay the salary. But every good thing comes from God. And so we pray and we ask him to give us this day our daily bread. I want to close with just a couple of scriptures. Psalm 34:10 says, "The young lions lack and suffer." That means even the ones that should have plenty. You see, it's not about just our own ability. "But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Wow, what a promise. Those that seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. One last one from the New Testament, Philippians 4:19, and many of you know it. He says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And I want to tell you, his riches in glory, he's got an abundance, and he'll supply all of our need. There's no shortage in heaven. There's no limits with our Heavenly Father, and he's the one that's supplying our need, giving us this day our daily bread. Amen. Well, stand with me, and we're going to pray.